Hey everyone, welcome to the Pod Awareness Podcast, and thanks for joining me. Be sure to rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, and YouTube, and also check us out at podawareness.org and on Instagram at podawareness_official. On Instagram, we are doing submissions for Pet of the Week, where you can submit your foster pet, and we'll pick one winner every month, and we'll give $200 to their choice of charity or foster. Thanks for watching, and I hope you enjoy this episode. Hey everyone, welcome to today's episode of the Paw Awareness Podcast. Today I have a couple of special guests with me, Aaron and Jeanette with Yoga for Cats, and they're actually from my hometown. So really excited to have some local Decatur, Illinois people on. And go ahead, I want you guys to introduce yourself, and then I also want you to introduce the organization, what it is that you guys do, and I look forward to hearing about it.
Okay. My name is Jeanette Skaluba. I am the founding president of Yoga for Cats, which is a foster-based licensed animal rescue in, as we say, Decatur, Illinois. and we started back in 2015 as the first organization to partner shelter cats for fundraising and adoption. And that was with another organization in Decatur. And then since that organization closed, we became our own 501c3 and then eventually our own foster-based rescue, because we definitely like to focus on the quote-unquote undercats, and our community really needed a cat-focused rescue. So that's kind of a little bit about our organization, which we can talk about more obviously in the next little while, and I'll let Erin introduce herself.
Erin Rockefeller. I'm the founding vice president and interim secretary of Yoga for Cats, and I'm also a foster. So my passion for the organization really comes in from trying to help support a lot of the, we would say, challenging kitty cases. One of our partnering organization vets always says that we always come in with the really unique veterinary and medical cases, and she enjoys working with us because she actually gets to continue learning. We take on a lot of cases that are pretty unique and surprising and challenging to navigate, and they can be both very heartwarming and heartbreaking at times, but I think that makes us a very special rescue, especially when we partner with our local animal control in situations where the cats there maybe aren't ideal for that type of environment.
Gotcha. I'm sure you guys probably deal with some really hard stuff sometimes. And what does Yoga for Cats actually entail, right? I mean, just off of the name, I'm picturing, you know, doing yoga with cats. Am I far off there? Like, what's that like?
Yeah, no, that's exactly what it is. So the first event was like an invitation only, just a way to get more engagement with cats that were available for adoption. And it really ended up being this very organic, interactive environment where the cats felt comfortable. They were outside the shelter. It went viral. I mean, the dodo picked it up, and then it just kind of went crazy from there. And now you see it as a concept, you know, all over the world with yoga studios partnering with shelters and rescue groups, and they do it in cat cafes now as well. So it's exactly what you're thinking. It's cats on a mat with yogis and hopefully making a good connection with a person for adoption. And also fundraising, right? Because most of the time, I would assume, and this is how we did it, all the proceeds from the event went back to the rescue and the shelter.
That's really cool. And how many cats do you really, or can you facilitate it at one given time, right? I'm sure there has to be a cap to that.
Yeah, it depends on the personalities and the ages. Typically, we definitely put a lot of thought into which cats will do well at a yoga event. Kittens are usually pretty straightforward, right? But then we'll have sometimes we'll have these really confident, outgoing adult cats that totally steal the show. So it really depends. And we have to evaluate personalities ahead of time to make sure that we'll have a good fit. Because the last thing you want is a cat that's scared and maybe, you know, just doesn't do well at the event. That's not fair to them either.
And I know that you mentioned, you know, that events are held. Is fundraising dealt in outside of events? Like, is there anything like that? Or is it all pretty much event based?
We do. I mean, you have to fundraise any which way that you can, especially with COVID restrictions. Over the last year, we haven't been able to host our normal yoga events. And we also don't do them super often because we want to keep it something that is a special event. But we do a lot of social media engagement. You know, we sell a lot of handmade crafts that our volunteers make for the organization. We have a Square store on our website, which is yogaforcats.com with the number 4. So, I mean, there's a lot of other ways that we try to engage and raise funds as well, other than just events.
Okay, cool. And what I also wanted to ask was I know that you mentioned partnering with people in the community, and I think that's really important for any organization. What are those, you know, who are you partnered with, and is that something that you look to expand, and what does that kind of look like?
I'll let Aaron take that one. If you want to talk about like vets and animal control, Aaron, or local businesses even.
Sure. Yeah. So, you know, I can start by just talking a little bit about, we've been talking a lot about the yoga events. So, you know, one thing is the yoga instructors, Jeanette and I, and actually none of our immediate volunteers are actual yoga instructors. So we get a lot of engagement from our local yoga studios. It's a great opportunity to invite different yoga instructors to come and lead the classes. The only yoga instructor that we have had come on a repeat is actually a really cool collaboration that we do with a local brewery here in Decatur Brew Works. We've done, I guess it's a semi-annual now because we missed 2020, but we do a beer and yoga for cats, and they have an instructor that leads that. And so it's kind of a fun three-way collaboration with their yoga instructor, Chuck Beck, and Decatur Brew Works and Yoga for Cats. And so that's been really fun. Yoga instructors, the craft brewery, and then our nonprofit organization. We also had engagement with local businesses too, before we had our in-ground facility where we could sell our crafts. So we have the Decatur Art Farm here. So we could sell our merch there at no charges to us. So then with veterinary services, obviously that's where we spend most of the money we take in. Any reduced service fees that we can get become really important to be able to sustaining the organization. So we have a couple wonderful vet clinics that are not only great to work with, but offer rescue rates to us that honestly allow us to operate. Without their generosity and availability, we wouldn't be able to do what we do. Cats Only and Decatur Animal Clinic here in town. So they are just absolutely wonderful to us and wonderful to work with, and make it so our cats are healthy and ready to go home when they're ready for adoption. We also do a trap neuter return program called WeTNR. And there's another nonprofit in Springfield, Illinois called Animal Protective League. They have a shelter there as well, but what they have grants to do is low cost spay neuter for feral cats. So we can offer trap neuter return in our community and provide services through APL and even some of our local vets to individuals in the Decatur and Macon County community that might not be able to afford surgery to help reduce the feral population and stabilize that. So Jeanette, you might want to talk more about the WeTNR program. Jeanette's been organizing and leading a lot of that lately.
Yeah, so that program is definitely, if you want to talk about kind of challenges, that's one of our more difficult programs to manage and facilitate, because there are so many moving parts with WeTNR. I mean, you know, the field work in and of itself is, you know, a lot of time and commitment and training of volunteers. And it's, you know, not everybody wants to be out in the field, you know, trapping cats, monitoring traps. You know, you definitely need to have a good strategy. You have to understand the safety protocols, cat behaviors. But I mean, at the end of the day, that's really where a lot of the rubber hits the road in terms of being able to reduce euthanasia in shelters and controlling, you know, mainly controlling cat population. So the report program, you know, if anyone is listening to this in our local Decatur area and you have any interest in it, we have just about every aspect of the program that is available to help with, from the field work that we just talked about, or even just administration side with scheduling and coordinating the program. You know, Aaron and I work pretty much all the time with rescue, but we can always use more help. So we definitely try to find out what people's interests are and match them up with a really great volunteer opportunity within Yoga for Cats.
I didn't know that you guys did TNR as well. And what exactly, it's because this is kind of a two-part question. It's, you know, what exactly are you seeing? Like, how bad is the feral population cat indicator? I feel like every place I talk to, you know, location-based across the United States, they kind of have their own obstacles depending on where they're at. And then my next question is do you think that there's anything that can be done to stop that, maybe even at a political level? I don't know. I'm just trying to, like, is there anything like at that governmental level that could be done to kind of slow that down? Or,
I mean, in terms of just the overall problem, you see it more in, I think, in certain parts of the communities. You know, a lot of times we've been at large colonies where if there's like you grew up in Decatur, you know, there's a fair amount of abandoned structures, buildings. Those are really great places for cats to set up a colony, right? And we've worked on large colonies like that, which is where like a location like APL, like Aaron mentioned in Springfield, is a great opportunity, because they do that high volume, high quality spay neuter. Whereas like trying to get, you know, even a half a dozen cats into a local clinic is a really big tax on their time. I think one of the things that we've done once in the past, we partnered with the University of Illinois shelter medicine program, is they brought their mobile unit actually to cats only and set up in the parking lot. And we did, I can't remember, Aaron, I think we did almost 30 cats.
Yeah, it was just day. Over 30.
Yeah. And that was, I mean, that's amazing. If we could do more things like that, more dedicated, like higher volume spay neuter days, I think that would make it, you know, help us make a dent. And I do think also, you mentioned kind of the governmental level, the Illinois Animal Welfare Act, they did make some updates to that are definitely more progressive and in line with, you know, humane control and kind of treating community cats and feral cats a little differently. If that cat has an ear tip, that signifies that the cat is altered. So they're sterilized, they can't reproduce, and they're vaccinated at a minimum for rabies vaccine. Our program also includes the FVRCP vaccine, which is a combination vaccine that really just helps the overall health of the cat. But anyway, I think there are progressive things happening. A lot of it is just really, I think, getting that engagement from the community, from your local vets, from your volunteers, getting the right people involved that share that same passion and making that impact.
I think, you know, community education is a huge factor in this too. Resource availability, from what we've seen, is just major. So making ways for people to, the community to know that resources exist, and making the information more accessible would go a long way. There's been a lot of cases where Yoga for Cats hasn't been the right fit for a need or a request, but we are able to refer requesters to the organizations that are the appropriate fit. We get a lot of, one thing that we don't do is low cost spay neuter for owned pets. It's just too much to manage with all the programming that we do have, but we are able to refer those requesters to other groups that do offer those services. So I think it's, you know, making sure that our community and individuals have accessible information and educating on spay neuter and the importance of doing that at an early age. It's just unfortunate when you see situations that happen because people don't have the knowledge or the information, and problems like population growth or things like that occur due to lack of resources, lack of information.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And I think, you know, like just trying to slowly like climb up the snake, I guess, and, you know, up to the head and at the root of the problem. So I think education is huge. And I know that you guys mentioned, you know, you guys have been around for over half a decade. And I know that we're just coming out of this pandemic. What was that like for you guys? Like, how did you, I feel like everyone had to pivot no matter who you were. And what was one really kind of cool way when you're looking back on it that you feel like you know, maybe something you implemented that you still maybe have around today or that you felt good about?
You know, I think a couple really cool things for Yoga for Cats in regard to the pandemic that were positives is that we are a foster-based organization. So we observed a lot of the shelters really start to scramble to make sure that they had a strong online presence, but we already had that because we don't have an in-ground facility. So all of our presence to show our adoptable cats was already through social media, through Pet Finder, through the internet. And so we didn't really have to change anything we were doing to create awareness of our adoptable pets, which was great for us. Our inquiries for adoptions actually increased when the pandemic hit because we already took really good pictures and had really good descriptions of our pets online. So that was something that was good. The other thing that this was just dumb luck, but one of my goals was in as we approached 2020 was that in 2019, I was working to create an online database for our using a online system. And that allowed us to actually facilitate contact-free adoptions. So we had an online adoption application. And then when we went to do the adoption process with our adopters, they could actually check out and sign contracts using smartphones. So we had that ready to go in roughly February of 2020. So, I mean, the timing for that, we had obviously no idea that this was going to happen, but like I said, just dumb luck, but it made our adoption process much safer and much easier for our volunteers and our adopters alike. Jeanette, yeah. I don't know if you want to talk about the sales and other types of fundraisers.
One thing that was also just, I think, a testimony to the volunteers that we have is that we have a couple of really talented seamstresses in our group. And we started making these very high quality handmade masks really early on in the pandemic. And this was when like nobody could get masks, right? Like now they're everywhere. But if you think back to like that February, March timeframe, we were able to sell, I don't know, I was like, had like, I felt like I was running a small sweatshop from my dining room or something, every day going to the post office and shipping masks. But we did raise a fair amount of funds by just getting in on that really early, just that trend. And of course now, you know, it's kind of died off, because masks are so widely available. But I mean, I still wear ours all the time. And anyway, and then I think also, you know, we don't have a shelter space, but we were able to, I don't know if this is necessarily has anything to do with COVID, but we were able to secure and lease a commercial space for Yoga for Cats. Well, it is kind of related to COVID, I suppose, because we had a grant dedicated to an additional outreach program that we weren't able to take action on because travel restrictions. So our sponsor suggested we use that money for another organizational need. And that organizational need was really sustainability for having to keep all of our trapping equipment, all of our records, because we had a storage unit we had outgrown. We couldn't keep food for our fosters in there. So now we have a physical space that has been huge in just streamlining the logistics of our organization. So that's something that we were able to do last fall, you know, in the middle of the pandemic.
Yeah, I think those are great takeaways. And I think it's just, you know, acting quickly and just, and what Aaron talked about, just being prepared. Even if you, maybe you don't know what, you know, like you guys didn't know what was about to happen, but just being prepared and acting quickly, like the mask thing, that's really cool. And who knows what's already, you know, what's going to happen tomorrow, that you can kind of seize that opportunity and every little bit counts. So I think that's really cool. And what are some of your goals now for, you know, we're a little bit halfway through 2021, or not quite halfway through 2021. So maybe what are your goals this year and then the upcoming year? Do you have any big plans or projects or anything like that?
I just hate paperwork. So I'm continuing to push, you know, online database management through the organization,
yes.
much to a lot of our group's resistance, but it's growing. People are starting to like it more and more because it's, you know, the benefit is it allows the rest of the organization to access everything, you know, medical records. So if someone goes on vacation, it's right there. It's not on a paper file somewhere. So now I'm looking to expand our system that we just, actually be used for our WeTNR program so that we can have an application for TNR service requests and track not only our foster program, but our TNR program within the same database. So I'm excited about that because, you know, Jeanette is very good at what she does, and she gets on me if I don't enter the program cats that projects that I'm managing because, you know, I need to. And so I think I'll be much better if I'm using the database. So less manual.
It's also a great reporting tool. I mean, we have everything in this rather unwieldy spreadsheet file. And, you know, when you have to report all of your outcomes to the Department of Ag, right? I mean, an online database system like Aaron's talking about really makes that so easy and doesn't take up so much of your time where you're doing things, you know, it's still on a spreadsheet, but it's a lot of manual data capturing and trending. So that's huge. And then I think the other thing that, I mean, I don't know, we're still kind of seeking a volunteer. So if anybody out there is interested in kind of, you know, pro bono volunteer website design, our website could really use updating, and we want to keep it, you know, really relevant to adoption and WeTNR services and the things that people will go to our website for, just to get that more user friendly for a mobile platform. Right now it works, right? But it could just use a facelift. So that's something that maybe in 2021 we'll get to if we can find the right person to help us with that.
Lastly, you know, just like any big nonprofit, well, small or nonprofit in general, as we continue to grow and try to take on more and make the organization more efficient, there's the need for additional funding resources. So big fundraisers are still not an option. So we are all of our funding and donate and monetary resources come in strictly from grants and community donations. So we don't get any government funding. So we are always seeking and pushing for additional donations and additional supporters.
Yeah, I think that's much needed across all of any rescue or shelter. And where can people find you guys if they want to reach out, volunteer, donate like that? Where can they reach out to you guys?
You know, they can reach us via Facebook or Instagram. Those are probably our two biggest social media platforms. Our website is yoga4cats.com. You know, that lists our email. You can, if you can find our phone number there too, go ahead and text us. Yeah, don't call us. We won't pick up. But yeah, you can, it'll auto reply and tell you to text us if you just want to try that out. There's plenty of ways to get a hold of us. We always need volunteers, right? So in almost every aspect. So please, if you're interested, reach out and we'll work with you to connect you to the right opportunity.
Yeah, I think that's great. No matter wherever anyone's listening at, the link to every bit of your guys' social media, email will be down below. Reach out to them. Let's help out Yoga for Cats. I'm excited to, maybe next time I come back into town, things are better. And, you know, maybe you guys are throwing an event. That would be super cool. I want to thank both of you for coming on. It's a great chat with you guys. And I'm excited to hear about what you guys are doing.
Thanks for the opportunity, Chris. It was good to see you virtually. And looking forward for your next visit. We'll have to make sure that you get to stop by our location while you're here next.
I look forward to it. Thanks so much, guys. I learned a lot.